Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic, on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be talking about the following hot topic: believers speaking in tongues with other believers. Is that something that should be happening in churches today? What are your thoughts? Believers speaking in tongues with other believers. Where a bunch of believers in the church gather together and they just start free-flowing. Speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, praising in tongues. Or better yet, I should say, supposedly speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and praising in tongues. Is that something that should be happening in churches today? What do you think? No. In fact, if you have your Bibles, go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Today, we are going to be taking a look at verses 20 through 22. As we continue our series here in 1 Corinthians, where we've studied chapters 12, 13, and now we're in chapter 14. Three chapters where the Apostle Paul, under the power of the Holy Spirit, was writing to the Christians there in the church in Corinth. And in these three chapters, he was talking to them about spiritual gifts. One of the gifts that was being used, and yes, even misused in that church back then, was the gift of tongues. If you've been with us in this series, you know that in that Corinthian church, you had two types, I guess you would say, of tongue speaking going on back then. You had some who had the legitimate spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, where they, like the apostles on the day of Pentecost, were those believers there in the church in Corinth were able to speak clear, intelligible, understandable foreign languages, which they had never studied or practiced before. But the Holy Spirit had gifted them with the ability to speak in tongues. That was the real, genuine gift. Again, Acts chapter 2, we see that's exactly the gift the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. And we see how they didn't speak, watch, bata, 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 nonsensical gibberish. But rather, they spoke clear, intelligible foreign languages, which they didn't practice in advance. And people could understand them. So you had in that church in Corinth the real gift, which was still in operation back then. But you also had the counterfeit, the bata, bata. Ecstatic, nonsensical gibberish that nobody could understand in the church. In fact, even those who were using the gibberish couldn't understand what they were saying. This ecstatic, nonsensical gibberish came into the church from the pagan mystery religions. This was not of God. And so again, if you've been with us in this series, you know, especially here in chapter 14, how Paul has been rebuking some of the Corinthians who were using the counterfeit. And they were claiming they had the gift of tongues. And again, verses 1 through 19 of chapter 14, it is so clear that Paul was rebuking them for their ecstatic, nonsensical gibberish. Well, here in verses 20 through 22, Paul now is going to explain why the real gift, tongues, was given. Paul's going to give an Old Testament example. And he's going to explain, if you want to look at verse 22, he's going to say, so then tongues, he's talking about the real legitimate gift, are for a sign. Underline the word sign. A sign from God. The real legitimate gift of tongues back then are for a sign, not to those who believe, not to believers, but to unbelievers. But prophecy, speaking and declaring God's truth, are not for non-believers because they're dead to God, but for those who believe. And so our hot topic today, believers speaking in tongues with believers? What's the answer? According to Scripture? Why? Again, verse 22. The real legitimate gift of tongues back then, foreign languages, were for a sign. A sign, by the way, ready? Of God's judgment. Upon who? Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. To be more specific, unbelieving Israel. And so Paul was saying to the Corinthians, up in verse 20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking. What are you doing with this nonsensical gibberish that you adopted from the pagan religions? What are you doing bringing that into Christ's church and calling that the gift of tongues? Brethren, verse 20, do not be children in your thinking. In other words, grow up and be mature when it comes to your mind. If you recall last study, Paul rebuked them over in verse 14, where he said to them, if I pray in a tongue, the nonsensical gibberish, my spirit prays, not the Holy Spirit, and my mind is what? Unfruitful. Again, that's what the pagans did. Suspend your mind, get high on drugs, get drunk on alcohol, get yourself in an emotional frenzy, and just start to break out in ecstatic gibberish. And the pagans taught that's how you draw closer to your pagan deity. As we saw last time, Jesus made it very clear how we are to worship with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. The true worshipers of God are those who worship God in spirit with all their heart and truth with their mind. Well, the Corinthians here were suspending their mind. They're all thinking and letting their emotions run wild, which, by the way, do you see some similarities in what's happening in a lot of modern day charismatic Pentecostal churches today? Don't want to limit it just to them. It's moving into other groups as well in so-called Christianity. We are to use our minds. Our minds are to be informed by God's truth. God's truth that comes into our minds, sinks down into our hearts, and informs us how to worship God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, right? Well, again, this ecstatic gibberish, just suspending all rational thinking and letting your emotions run wild, that's what the pagans did. And that's what some of the Corinthians were doing in that church. And again, that's why, verse 20, Paul said to them, brethren, do not be children in your thinking. In evil, be infants. Act like an infant baby who doesn't yet have the cognitive ability to choose to do evil. Doesn't mean that babies are innocent. They still have a sin nature. But Paul is saying, look, when it comes to acting out in evil, be like infants. But when it comes to your thinking, use your minds. Be mature, end of verse 20. Do you see the rebuke? And then Paul explains to them, using verse 21, an Old Testament passage, Isaiah chapter 28, kind of like a summary quote from Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 11, where he says, in the law, referring to the book of Isaiah, it is written, by men of, would you please underline strange tongues, foreign languages? By the lips of strangers. God said, I will speak to this people. Which people? Israel. Isaiah was writing to Israelites. God said through Isaiah, by men of strange tongues and by lips of strangers, I, God, will speak to this people, Israel, And even so, they will not listen to me. Why? They were unbelievers. God made it clear in the Old Testament that when his people, if they acted in disbelief towards God, God made it clear that when they heard foreign languages coming, they were to understand that was a sign from God of God's judgment. On whom? Unbelievers, unbelieving Israel. Let me show you what I mean. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. God said to his people who were camped on the eastern side of the Jordan, the plains of Moab, Moses was about to pass the baton of leadership on to Joshua. Joshua, who under God's power and grace was going to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And here, God, through Moses, gives a warning to the people of Israel. The warning? That if they do not obey God when they get into the promised land, God said, let me tell you what's going to happen. Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart, for the abundance of all things, God's blessings providing, bringing you into the promised land, God said, therefore you will serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you. You'll be in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in lack of all things. And he, God, will put an iron yoke on your neck, unbelieving Israel, until he has destroyed you. And here was going to be the sign. Verse 49, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, foreigners from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation, and here it is, whose language you shall not understand. In other words, God was warning his people before they crossed into the promised land. God said, if you act in disobedience and unbelief towards me, God said, my judgment is going to come on you. And the sign of God's judgment would be what? Foreign languages, which meant foreigners, which meant they had been sent by God to exact judgment on God's unbelieving people. Does that make sense? So again, this was God's warning to Israel before they entered the promised land. Pretty clear warning, right? If you disobey and act in unbelief, here come the foreign languages, and they would be a sign of God's judgment. Pretty clear. Well, how do you think that worked out for Israel? They got it. They went into the promised land. God had blessed them. Did they act in belief? No. They acted as unbelievers. So guess what happened? Go to Isaiah now, 28, the text that Paul used in 1 Corinthians, Isaiah 28. God's people were in the promised land. God's people were acting like the pagans in disobedience and disbelief of God. They were unbelievers, even though God had abundantly blessed them. So God continued to send them prophet after prophet. They killed the prophets. They ignored the prophets. They wanted nothing to do with God's prophets or with God's truth or with God himself. So here in Isaiah 28, God uses the prophet Isaiah to say to unbelieving Israel, verse 11, they didn't want to listen to God's prophet Isaiah. They thought he was boring. They thought he was speaking in like a child, where Isaiah kept warning God's people, repent or else. God said, okay. Verse 11, that he would speak to this people. Which people? Unbelieving Israel. How is God going to speak to them? Through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Foreign languages were a sign of God's judgment on whom? Unbelieving Israel. Didn't God warn them back in Deuteronomy 28 that if they disobeyed God, if they didn't believe in God, if they didn't honor God and worship God, that God was going to send his judgment on them? Didn't God warn them? And didn't God make it very clear that the sign of his judgment was what? Foreign languages. Well, fast forward to the time of Isaiah. The people did not heed God's warning. And so God said through the prophet Isaiah, now you're going to hear something. What were they going to hear? Again, verse 11, stammering lips and a foreign tongue. And we know that in 722 BC, those foreign people came, the Assyrians, speaking a foreign language, which was a sign of God's judgment on the northern kingdom of Israel, unbelieving Israel. And in 722 BC, through the Assyrians, God judged the northern kingdom, wiping them out and taking them into captivity. Well, you had the southern kingdom left, right? Judah. Do you think they learned their lesson after they saw what happened to the northern kingdom? No. Do you think maybe they went back to Deuteronomy 28 and heeded the warning? No. The southern kingdom also acted in disbelief. The southern kingdom also disobeyed God. And go to Jeremiah chapter 5. Through the prophet Jeremiah, what did God say? Verse 15, God said, behold, I'm bringing a nation against you from afar. That nation? The Babylonians. Behold, I'm bringing a nation against you from afar, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. It is an enduring nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Foreign people with foreign languages were a sign of God's judgment on whom? Unbelieving Israel. Think of the warning back in Deuteronomy 28. Think about what God said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 28. And think about what God said through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 5. Northern kingdom, 722 BC, taken into captivity by foreigners, the Assyrians, who spoke foreign languages. The sign of God's judgment. And then, 586 BC, here come some more foreigners. Actually, they started in 605, and then 597, and then the final blow, 586 BC. The foreigners, who were they? The Babylonians, speaking foreign languages, which was a sign of God's judgment on unbelieving Israel. You starting to see the point here? Well, go now to Acts chapter 2. We had already studied this, Day of Pentecost, so I won't get into all the details there. But we know on the Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, that the apostles were able to speak in foreign languages. Foreign languages, which we know from Deuteronomy 28, Isaiah 28, Jeremiah 5, were a sign of God, say it, judgment upon whom? Unbelieving Israel. Well, fast forward to the day of Pentecost. 50 days earlier, there in Jerusalem, what happened? The Jews crucified Christ. And when the Jews on the day of Pentecost heard the foreign languages, what do you think came to their mind? Uh-oh, we remember what happened with the northern kingdom and the Assyrians. We remember what happened with the southern kingdom and the Babylonians. We even know what God had said in warning back in Deuteronomy 28 through Moses. The Jews there in Jerusalem, when they heard the foreign languages, what were they thinking? God's judgment upon whom? Unbelieving Israel, who a few weeks earlier crucified the Messiah. And that's why, after speaking in tongues, then Peter stood up and preached a sermon. And he said in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, is Jesus whom you crucified. Look at the response of the Jews in Jerusalem. Not all of them, but when they heard verse 27, this, the combination of the foreign languages and then Peter's sermon about Christ, the crucified, risen one, they were pierced to the heart because they understood what? God's judgment was coming. Upon whom? unbelieving Israel. They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do? We don't want the same thing to happen to us and our family that happened to the northern and southern kingdom. What shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, Peter solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." You know, the generation that rejected the Messiah who came to them? Be saved from this perverse generation. Why? Because God's judgment was coming on them. Just like it did on the northern kingdom, just like it did on the southern kingdom. God's judgment was coming on unbelieving Israel here. And that's why Peter said, "Now you better repent and seek forgiveness. Save yourself from this perverse generation." And praise God, verse 41, the Holy Spirit worked and regenerated 3,000 souls. Why were they afraid and terrified? Because they heard the foreign languages. And they were reminded of God's warning in Deuteronomy 28. They were reminded of what God did to both the northern and southern kingdom, as God spoke through Isaiah and Jeremiah to unbelieving Jews. And suddenly here they are. They had just rejected the Messiah, crucified him. And there they are in Jerusalem, the very place where they crucified the Messiah. And they heard the foreign languages. "Brothers, what do we do? We're in trouble." God in his grace, through Peter, gave them an opportunity to repent and to be forgiven of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. But what was the purpose of the foreign languages? A sign of God's judgment upon unbelieving Israel. Did the sign come on the day of Pentecost? Yeah. Did God's judgment come? Absolutely. Fast forward to 70 AD. The Romans came. Foreign people, foreign languages, and destroyed Jerusalem, God's temple, and Jews. Do you see it? Now, praise God, the sign came, and there were those who repented. But the vast majority of Israel, they didn't. They didn't heed the warning. They didn't care about the sign. And thus, they experienced God's judgment, just like the northern and southern kingdoms did. Go back to 1 Corinthians now. Let's put it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 20 through 22. Paul rebuked the Corinthians. "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. In evil, be like infants, but in your thinking, how about be mature?" And then he quotes from Isaiah 28. "In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, God said, I will speak to this people," non-believing Jews, "and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord." And then Paul says in verse 22, "So then, tongues," foreign languages, "are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Repent or else. The sign is here. The judgment's coming on unbelievers." But prophecy, declaring God's truth, not for unbelievers, as I said earlier, because they're dead to God. They first need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But prophecy declaring God's truth is for believers. And so do you understand what Paul is saying here? Again, think about the context. You had a group in that church who were using the counterfeit and saying they had the real gift of tongues. Paul says, wait a second. Stop being immature. He says, let me remind you of why God gave foreign languages. It was a sign of judgment on unbelievers, unbelieving Jews. The sign came, the judgment came. The sign came, the judgment came. The sign came, the judgment came. And what Paul was warning the Corinthians here was this. Paul had the real gift of tongues. There were others in that church. Those who were using the counterfeit? Huh. Many of them were in all likelihood unbelievers. Paul was saying, the sign is here. You better repent. And so, the hot topic today is, believers speaking in tongues with other believers? What's the answer? Absolutely not. Right? Now, again, the good part, we know that, as Scripture here says, that tongues, the real gift, was a sign of God's judgment. But praise God, we see the other side of that coin. Those who heeded the sign, the warning, and repented, they were saved. We also know that tongues back then, though they were for unbelievers, nevertheless could be used for edification in the church, assuming there was an interpreter. So the church could understand what was being said and be edified. And we'll talk more about that as we make our way through chapter 14. And tongues also were a sign of apostolic authority. 2 Corinthians 12:12, the signs of a true apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, including tongues. But again, Scripture's clear here. So this idea of believers in the church today getting together just as believers and bata, 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 and all that stuff, and just this is what we do. We're having a believer's tongue-speaking service. What? Borrowing from the words of Paul, brethren, don't be children in your thinking. And you're thinking, be mature. Because according to Old Testament Scripture, tongues are for a sign. A sign of God's judgment. Upon whom? Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.